My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
Here we are. Guess what? Hi.
You know, because of apes. You know, there was there was a rise,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a dawn.
And then this is the war of the planet for the
forest of the
Endor
region of
where's the Ewoks of the apes.
I was gonna say, hey, we saw Apocalypse Now, and then the movie made that joke, and I'm like, well, no, that's not. It's the Great Ape, right? It was the Great Ape.
Yeah, dude.
It was Dances with Apes. It was War for the Planet of the Apes, or of the Planet of the Apes, and yeah, it was awful. This week on Can't Handle the Truth.
Throwing heat right out the gate. You can't handle the truth.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, July 14th, 2017. I don't even know, man.
Oh, Sean.
When Sean doesn't like something,
he doesn't want to talk at all about it.
No, there's plenty of things. You know, some of the only... You know, I write the 400-word reviews.
Right.
Those are on Facebook.com/SeanCollierPGH, also on BoxOfficeProfits.com. Some of the only ones...
By the way, my wife prefers your 400-word review as opposed to... my dumb voice in our podcast.
Hey, you know, it's you get in and
you win.
You get in and out. You know, you see who's in it, what it's about, whether or not you need to see it.
That's
efficient. No, some of the only times that I go long on those are when I really, really hate something.
Sure.
And I want to explain exactly why. That's not the case here. This just bored the shit out of me.
Now look.
Like nodding off, I can't focus, I don't care, just make it stop.
What was it?
Boring.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes was a very good movie.
It was.
The second one was a really good movie.
The first one was pretty good, the second one was really good.
Really good.
All from the same director,
this
too.
Here's the thing with this one is that it just, it was about, what, 2 hours and 25 minutes?
About 2:20, yeah.
And I would say from 45 minutes to about, for an hour, about 45 minutes to about 1:45, it was not good and super boring.
45 to 1:25?
Yeah, for about an hour.
I would say 30 to...
30?
The end.
Yeah, okay, good point.
No, I mean, look, if you liked it more than me,
and we,
I'm glad somebody...
No, it's not like I liked it more than you. I'm just trying to... you know, find some decent things. But we can't spoil this movie. We can't.
I guess we can.
People want to see this movie. People have liked movies that we have not liked.
Sure.
So we can't spoil it. But there's a lot of things that are happening here that I'm... Here's my biggest gripe.
Okay.
Is that the first two movies moved forward the world of the apes.
And without spoiling it, this is kind of a
2.5.
Yeah, it's you know what it feels like? It feels like when you get some tie-in comic books and they have like, here's another thing that happened.
Right.
But that fundamentally, if you never read that, you would not be missing a thing.
Right.
In that, like, you know, we meet some new characters.
Sure.
And there's a self-contained story about our heroes dealing with those characters. And that's not to imply that nothing happens, because some big things happen here, which we will not spoil.
Right.
But in terms of the action of the movie, it's just like, here's a thing they had to deal with.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, one of the things I really liked about the first two... And I think this is gets towards what you were saying, is that they kind of, you know, kind of quickly dealt with the what was happening in the world.
Oh,
it's,
right.
It's not just Charlton Heston lands and it's the apes. It is the, like, you know, here's what happened to the world to get there. And things really changed.
Yeah.
And this is like a weird kind of slow military movie,
but it also what I mean was in the world of the apes, like their world, like we're talking about their timeline, just like we would say the Marvel world, you know, the universe, let's say the apes universe,
the apeaverse
didn't move at all.
No, nothing.
It was like a blip in their history.
And not and I said a minute ago that these are all from the same director. That's not true. The first one was by Rupert Wyatt, who did one of them. He's done some stuff, but nothing else really recognizable besides that. Then the franchise was given to Matt Reeves, who did Cloverfield.
Yeah,
and the American version of Let the Right One In, both of which were good.
Which were fine, yeah.
And it's... So... The previews and even the posters and even the name kind of make it out like this is going to be a serious war movie.
Great,
like,
point, yes.
This epic, you know, like the end of that one Lord of the Rings movie that ends with a 45-minute battle sequence. That's the impression that I got, that this is going to be.
Right.
And the first scene is like that, and then it's like this... tortured, like I don't even know really what it was about. It was about,
well, I can tell you right now, the guy I'm looking at this right now, the guy who wrote it, he wrote Live Free or Die Hard, which I was like, that was a fart. He wrote the remake to Race to Witch Mountain, because fart. He wrote Unstoppable, the movie that I was in.
Yeah, you were in that.
He also wrote the remake for Total Recall, which was fart.
Yeah, that was bad. And that was another...
That
especially was another one that it was like, God, this is just so bleak and dumb
talk
and
about,
slow.
If you want to talk about hard, dirty, wet farts, he wrote The Wolverine. That Japanese Wolverine? Ooh, goodness, that was bad.
And Insurgent. Is that the one that killed that franchise?
I think so.
You know what I'm talking about.
They
didn't make it to the last chapter of that because of a lack of interest.
They just stopped making them.
Right. Was that the last one? No, Allegiant was the last later, but Insurgent certainly pushed it on its way.
Wrong guy.
This is a guy, the guy that you go to when you want, like, long, weighty, middle chapters.
Yeah, I don't like
it. And the other thing is, you know, I don't mean to, you know, this is a really simplistic complaint, but this is a slow movie, right? And
oh, absolutely.
And no one's talking, because there's only like
subtitles.
Three apes that can talk.
Yeah.
So you just have a movie full of endless silence.
Right.
And background noise. And it feels like that. It feels like I don't even want to look at the screen, because there's nothing there for me.
Right.
And the way the plot moves, again, without giving anything away, is just this kind of like, you know, they do something, and then something completely unrelated happens to change their circumstances. It is not a progression. It's interesting, because, you know, you're hearing this literally a month later. We're seeing this screening very, very early. But if you go back, last night we recorded our Back to the Future episode.
Yeah. That's how far back we're going.
Yeah, and we talked a lot in that about how tight the script is and how everything has something to do with something else.
So we're within 24 hours of being really in-depth into screenwriting.
This has... Nothing happens has anything to do with anything else.
There,
nothing
there
that happens even it connects to
I
anything else.
I can't spoil anything. Yeah, I can't. There's a couple things that happen, a couple characters that are introduced.
You can spoil that... here's what I'm going to spoil, and I do not give a
shit. I'll follow your
lead. I don't care. That part of the plot of this has to do with there is a disease.
Oh,
that,
not what was I going to say, but go ahead.
That there's a disease that is affecting.
I have another stupid plot point.
There's a disease that's there's an additional disease, or I guess a mutated form
of
the disease.
This came out of nowhere.
That's affecting humans, and it comes out of nowhere.
Also, we're not spoiling it because it does nothing.
It does nothing for the plot, but it's a major plot point that adds a character to the roster. Where I'll spoil this, that the apes make friends with a little girl.
And yeah, because, it's like, because, you know, the best thing about a movie when you're trying to hide and escape, you know, a.k.a. zombie movies and episodes of Walking Dead, is add a fucking child.
That you have to take care
it's
of.
It's the worst
it
plot point
infuriates
in movies
everybody.
Like that. If there's no, like, look. Like Logan, that made sense.
Well, and you know what? With Logan, it was a coincidence. With this, she had been there for 10 minutes, and I was like, somebody has a Netflix subscription. Somebody watched Stranger Things and thinks silent 11-year-old girls are what everybody wants.
Yep.
Nope. This whoever was not as good.
No, it was not
good.
And
there was a point to that. This was, why was she there?
No reason.
And why was
nothing
the wacky sidekick monkey voiced by Steve Zahn?
Because he's a silly goose, Sean. Because Steve Zahn's a silly goose. That's the only.
Oh, man. I can't handle it. This. Some movies are getting me down this summer, Aaron. I mean, Alien. I don't even know what it was called. Alien Covenant. Is that the one that just came out?
Yeah, dude.
That tore me apart.
It was hot balls.
And this is just as bad. This might even be a little bit worse than Alien Covenant.
Nah. Alien Covenant was really dumb.
Do you remember that beautiful summer, like 2 years ago? 2015, where it was just one insane thing after the other. It was Jurassic World and Fury Road and everything that was coming out.
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron.
Well, I think we got Interstellar.
Fast 7 was that
I think we
year.
Got Interstellar.
I think Interstellar was the year before.
Oh, man.
But Fast 7 was that summer. It was every...
Oh, we got... That's when we got Leo's Oscar.
Yeah, The Revenant. Yeah. That was every week there was something that was like... Whoa, this is nuts and bonkers and crazy and fast-paced.
That's right, and you're right. And I was remembering us talking about our top 10. We were like, man,
yeah,
this is a tough year.
I don't even know what's at the top of my list this year.
I don't. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Beauty and the Beast.
Still haven't seen it.
How have you not taken your daughter to see Beauty and the Beast?
We just didn't. Oh, no. No, my wife took her.
Okay, good. I don't care if you haven't seen it.
No.
I care if Becca has seen it and if Wendy has seen it.
Didn't they go to the screener?
No. The screener was like this. The screener was an afternoon screener.
Oh.
They came for Boss
I
Baby.
I think they went for a birthday party.
Okay.
I do think so. Anyway.
I'm trying to figure out what would be around the top of my list this year. I'm going to look at my own reviews.
Yeah, I'm brain
Beauty
dead
and the
right
Beast
now.
And Wonder Woman. That's about it. This has been a little bit of a slow year.
Yeah, it's not good.
And this is... To this movie, I mean, it is just a Deus Ex Machina party. Everything that happens is like, oh, we're walking down the street and we're trying to get down the street, but then a goblin came out of the thing.
Oh, God.
That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but plot-wise, it is like, oh, doop-a-doop-a-doop, like a thing happened.
Right. I'm looking at what we've reviewed so far this year. And my number one is the Lego Batman movie, and my number two is Logan, and that is all.
Oh, yeah, Logan. Logan is absolutely my number
Logan
one.
Logan, everything we've looked at so far, I'm looking at all of them. Yeah, it's pretty much Logan.
And we're about halfway through the year. And if I were trying to do a top 10 for this year, Logan would be number one. Wonder Woman and Beauty and the Beast would probably be in the top 5. It Comes at Night would be in the top 10. I'm scrolling back through my reviews to find just things I even liked.
Oh, It Comes from Night. Yeah, I did see that.
Oh, you caught up to it.
I did see
Guardians
it.
2 would be in the top 10
I haven't
right
seen
now.
That yet.
You haven't? Oh, jeez.
I know.
What are you doing? What are you doing when you go on the road?
I haven't been on the road the last couple months.
You haven't been,
I'm a professional contractor at my new house.
Free Fire, I liked Fate of the Furious, but I mean these are not. This is not a very glowing year. But what did you think of It Comes at Night? There's a good movie.
I thought it was very good. I thought the performances were awesome. I wanted a little more.
Okay.
I wanted a little more. I thought it was a little too vague.
A little too
cloaked.
You want the full explanation?
No.
Or at least more of the explanation.
You know I'm not. You don't need to explain everything to me.
No. Yeah. You're not. That's not usually what you're saying.
I just wanted a little more. I don't want to spoil it because I want people to watch it. I think it's really good. It seems like the whole movie seemed like a really good first and second act to me. I think it needed a third act.
Okay. I think you absolutely can make that argument.
Yeah.
I thought the thing we could say without spoiling it, and people absolutely should go to see it,
yeah,
is that
absolutely.
Is that this is not a movie about what happened. It's a movie about how a couple people deal with what happened. The thing that, you know.
But I love the whole, you know, zombie world trope of people are more dangerous than the actual thing.
Yeah.
That's outside.
Yeah.
I love that. That's why Night of the Living Dead is one of the best horror movies of all time.
It's tricky because the thing I like the most about It Comes at Night is not something that I can't say that without spoiling.
Right, right.
But I will tell you one thing that I loved is there are incredible, incredible dream sequences. And
dude, those were terrifying.
And that's almost a cliche at this point to be like, oh, great dream sequences.
No.
But in
makes
this
a lot of
movie,
sense.
They're unbelievable. There is one that we can say that, you know, there's a young man in the house, a teenage boy. Older teenage boy.
Yes, yes. He was so good.
He was great.
Honestly, I was thinking he could get nominated for Best Supporting Actor if this came out like in November, October, November.
Movies like this don't. I mean, no one was more deserving of attention than the lead in The Witch last year.
Yeah.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
And she got no buzz. I mean, that's
I
just the
love,
way it is.
I know someone is acting really well when I am in their eyes.
Kelvin Harrison Jr. is his name.
I mean, I was in his POV. I felt like the whole movie,
and he was
I saw the whole movie through him.
He was in Birth of a Nation as well,
yeah,
so you've
yeah.
seen him before.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just seeing the movie through his lens was horrifying.
But he has
good.
Eventually, a woman not much older than him shows up in this house.
Yeah.
And the way that the dream sequence and then one scene later just plays with this idea of being like simultaneously like attracted to and terrified of a new presence in your life.
It was like
it's
the most
so
horrifying
good.
Wet dream of all time.
Yeah, yeah, it's so good.
Really good.
And those two particularly, I haven't said who, that Riley Keough plays the woman who shows up at the house, and Carmen, I think it's pronounced as you go. And I'm sorry if I got that wrong, is the mother in the movie.
Yeah.
Those two are unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's absolutely something you should see. And see how excited I am to talk about a movie that isn't War of the Planet of the Apes? It was so bad.
It wasn't so bad.
It was.
Here's the thing. So bad is from beginning to end.
Yeah.
I thought the first 20 to 30 minutes was a really great setup. I thought it had a great first act. And then they were just like, that's all we have. Here, guy who wrote Under Siege 2. Can you take... This is true, by the way.
That's awesome.
Here, guy that wrote Under Siege Part 2. Can you finish this movie now?
Well,
and that's what I feel like it happened.
And it's so heavy. It's heavy.
It's just
and
heavy,
like,
boring.
You know, you can push that envelope so much before I go back to... It's a fucking movie about talking monkeys. Can we calm down a little goddamn bit here?
Well, you know, I thought they were going to be really smart And at first, I was turning to you because I really liked the first 20, 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. No, we said to each other, this is really good so far.
It's
one
really
point.
Good. And
particularly Andy Serkis's motion capture performance.
I guess so. I still don't buy all
as
that.
Caesar.
But anyway.
But you said the facial expressions look great.
It was really good. Yeah. But I still, I don't buy the whole this guy is responsible for this CGI thing. I don't buy it.
Yeah, actually.
I need to understand the technology a little bit better.
Having just mentioned it, now you really do have to see Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
Because they invented a new way to do it.
Mm.
And they it was a big risk because they were rolling the dice. Like, as long as that's been in production, they had to guess that this was going to work.
Right.
But they literally had, like, it's like a paint dust that is like...
Oh, I did see that.
You remember, like, back in, like, maybe 5-10 years ago, if you wanted a home theater that you would paint your wall with that reflective paint?
Yes.
That's basically what he was wearing on his face.
Wow.
And then they could map to every little dot on his own face.
Right, like a little reflection.
Right. And so, like, that is a case where every computer movement of his face is just the look that he had on his face.
I mean, it's a good note.
Anyway.
No, it was good. But
yeah.
What I was going to say is that they seemed like they... I said to you, I wonder if they're drawing from the Native American plight for this idea, because that's what it felt like in the first 20, 30 minutes.
And
I thought, wow. And it actually made me think even, you know, every time you ever do any kind of reading in the history of the Native American struggle, it, you know, so that reminding me of it just made me like, oh, God, this is painful. It's terrible that you feel like, oh, this is a movie about apes, but this actually happened to real human beings. I thought they would continue to do that, and that just went out the window.
Well, and they did confirm, I think they did confirm that was their intention. Because at one point, the humans had a sign up.
Right.
That said, the only they call the apes Kongs,
right?
What are you doing there? But they had a sign up that said the only good Kong is a dead Kong.
Yeah,
which is paraphrasing our former president Andrew Jackson.
Yeah,
who said, and he might have been borrowing it, the only good Indian is a dead Indian.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that's Donald Trump's favorite former president. Just going to mention that.
Just no FYI.
Content and FYI. We're moving on.
The doctor of the Native American genocide.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yes, that was in there, and then it just slipped farther and farther away.
Yeah.
As the movie turned more and more just into nothing.
Into just so much
it's
not happening. It was really frustrating.
And you know what? Woody Harrelson was bad.
I think he was just. It seemed like he was just following orders. Honestly,
yeah.
I mean, figuratively and literally. I mean, I feel like they're just like, okay, now be Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
You know, he's usually good. It's not like he was terrible. He was doing his job.
Yeah.
But it's definitely forgettable for him, which is fine. He's done enough good things. I'm okay with this.
He's having a bad year. He was in that movie Wilson, which was also very bad.
Oh, that's right.
That was very bad.
Ever since True Detective.
Yeah, he fell off.
Yep.
it's an interesting point that this did make me think, like, what have I loved this year?
Yeah.
And
that's crazy, right?
And you know, like, sitting here, I think, honestly... Now, I'm probably forgetting a couple because it's been half a year.
Yeah.
I've seen a bunch of movies, but I was just scanning through, you know, some of my reviews. You know, I think it's like Logan. Now, Logan won. I loved Logan. Logan was great.
I did very much like
it. But Logan won. I might even go to Beauty and the Beast 2 because I think it was very good. Maybe Wonder Woman is 3, then It Comes at Night is 4, and... Free Fire is 5.
Hmm.
Maybe Guardian sneaks on there. But okay. Like,
but that's where we're at right now. And obviously, I mean, you know, we're going to have some things coming.
Skull Island was fine.
It was fine. I know we both were like, yeah.
No, I liked it a lot when I was sitting and watching it. There's some tremendous visuals in that, as we discussed.
Yeah.
But it's not something that a couple months later I'm like, oh, that's a must-see. Like, you know, it was fine. But I think last year at this point, we had just said last year, this is about the time last year when we were like, hey, you know what's the number one movie of the year so far? pop star, because that had been out already. The Witch had already been out, you know.
Yeah. Pop star, by the way, we still think that was one of the best comedies made in the last couple years.
Yeah,
for
that's
sure.
That stayed in my top 10 for 2016.
Well, I'll run down, because we're making this a short one.
Yeah, because I can't stand thinking about this movie anymore.
But, you know, we also had, you know, well, it's come out already, but by the time you hear this, but we're looking forward to Spider-Man Homecoming, July 7th.
I think it could be good.
I think it could be fun. I love that Spider-Man. I don't know if you saw the trailer for this, Sean, but you got to check it out. Be ready to be scared and also crying your balls off, if that you can do that. Watch the trailer for A Ghost Story.
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, that made me want to cry myself to sleep.
Huh.
But it also looks incredible. Dunkirk is coming in July.
Yeah, well, hey, you mentioned the magic word, Interstellar.
Yep.
You know, he's been working on Dunkirk for three
years.
He's never done a war movie properly. I'm very, very interested to
see. Also, some really good stuff coming out. I'm looking forward to this movie called Detroit. It's a history drama about a police raid in 1967. It's a huge riot in 1967 in Detroit. I'm very interested to see that. I like Anthony Mackie a lot. He's in actually John Boyega.
I am holding.
Finn is in that.
Oh, yeah. Holding out hope that maybe.
What are you going to say?
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets is going to turn out to be really good.
I don't know, bud.
Luc Besson.
I know.
Looks very imaginative. Now, look.
Also.
This is this year's Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
This is this year's Jupiter Ascending.
Right.
This is this year's, what's that shit, George Clooney Disney movie, Tomorrowland.
Right.
Like, there's one of these, and like, hey, one of these years it's going to work out.
I mean, also, dude, Dark Tower is coming.
Yeah, that'll be
I'm excited for Dark Tower. I mean, what's his name? Nicolas Arcel. He wrote Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
You pumped for Annabelle 3?
I mean, I saw it was a prequel. I saw the trailer.
Okay.
Not thrilled.
You know what?
We'll see.
You know what trailer did get me like, oh, okay.
What?
Kingsman 2.
Oh, yeah.
That looks
that
like
was
it could
good.
Be a lot of fun.
That was a fun movie.
It really looks like it could be fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There is a Starship Troopers coming out.
Well, look, and we're at this point, like you said a couple of episodes ago, we are sitting around waiting.
I'm still waiting for Blade,
It and Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, that's the two that I'm just waiting for. So it gets better this fall, guys.
Yeah. It gets better.
Yeah.
The Great Escape, see?
I know that my son, Luke the Nuke, is excited for the Lego Ninjago movie. I know
hey,
that.
There hasn't been a bad Lego movie.
Nope. You know? Also, I mean, Sean, let's not forget, October 6th, we're going to get My Little Pony the movie, Sean.
Yeah, there's that.
So, I mean, things are going to get really good. There's another Halloween movie coming out this year, guys.
Really?
So, yeah, also, there's another. I don't know if you know about this. I've been up on my horror movies. There's another Chucky movie coming out, Sean.
Get out.
Oh, it's
not
called
straight to video.
Sean, it's called Cult of Chucky. And Jennifer Tilly is in it again.
Atomic Blonde looks like it could be fun.
Sure.
I think it'll be all right.
We'll see.
Oh, we're going to have I plugged
it. Oh, and we're getting another Cloverfield movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. I don't like the looks of that Tom Cruise movie, American Made. That looks like it's going to be crap. Yeah.
This one was The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Wait, Saw Legacy is coming out this year?
Yeah, dude.
I'll tell you.
It's called Jigsaw.
I've never missed a Saw movie.
I haven't seen the last four, I think.
I don't know why. I mean, like, I don't like most of them, but every time there was a Saw movie out, there was just one night where I was like, yeah, okay, let's see. Let's see what someone has to stick their face in this time.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, hey, remember that stupid movie Bad Moms?
Tell me that already has a sequel.
Yeah, it already has a sequel. It's coming out this Christmas, A Bad Mom's Christmas.
Oh, get that.
They're already making a sequel.
Get
I
out
mean,
of here.
I mean, full of very funny ladies. Not good at all.
Yeah, that was a shame.
Also, even though I am so over Johnny Depp...
Yeah,
Murder on the Orient Express really good.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to screw that up. That doesn't mean that they can't screw it up. They can, but it's going to be hard to screw that up. That's
really great cast.
Hey, listen. We're getting out of here.
That's all we
have. But listen, please, and this is very important.
Justice League is
rate
coming.
And review this podcast on iTunes. iTunes is very important. But wherever you listen to podcasts, rate and leave us a review. It can be a couple words, take a few seconds out of your day. Subscribe.
Yeah.
That's very big. That helps us.
Look, if you know somebody that likes movies and you talk to your friend about movies or all of your friends, share it. Share our podcast on Facebook. Share our page. Please.
Just a quick one little press a button and
retweet it. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Follow your heart. That's what I say.
There's no app that won't let you do a little, hey, click, and then it's shared.
Yeah.
Do you know where you're going to be July 14th, 15th?
Oh, my gosh. Sean, I'm going to be all over the place.
Where are you going to be middle of July?
Well, the middle of July, I told you, it's crazy. I'm going to be in at the Comedy Club of Rochester. I'll be in Dayton, Ohio. And then and through August, I'll be in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Sarasota, Florida, and Appleton, Wisconsin.
Okay.
I'm bouncing around a bunch.
Yeah.
It'll be
all
fun.
Over the country. I'll mention two in particular. 28th of July at Comtra Theater in Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania. I'll be with Mike Kaplan.
Nice.
Very cool comic.
Really
He's got a Netflix special out.
Yeah.
So you can watch that and then buy your tickets July 28th in Cranberry. And August 4th in Oakmont, PA. That's where they have the big golf tournaments, you know.
Yeah.
We're doing a stand-up get down.
That's right.
At the Oaks Theater, a venue I've been going to since I was like 17 years old, where I've done Rocky Horror, where I've done comedy, and now for the first time doing stand-up, get down there. I believe you're on the road.
Yeah, I'll be in Calgary.
So Jason Clark
will be taking the helm at
taking
the Oaks
hosting
Theater.
Duties at the Oaks Theater, August the 4th, at Oaks of the Planet of the Apes. Planet.
Get down off the movie screen.
Downwind from this movie sucked.